After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift that you have given us in the sacrifice of Jesus. And as we reflect tonight, God, we pray that your spirit work in our minds and in our hearts, bringing transformation, bringing a new understanding, bringing hope and peace in the midst of this gruesome story. Father, we ask that you would continue to guide our hearts and our minds this weekend as we reflect on all that Jesus did for us and what he has done in his death, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mary was desperate. Life was a burden beyond belief. Her pain and suffering continued to persist, maybe in the way that she lived her life and the actions that she was taking, but certainly in so many other ways of torment. Other people were assuming that she was possessed. She was hopeless. She was helpless. And then she heard about Jesus. Maybe he could help her. Maybe he could give her hope. Nick was the opposite. I mean, his life seemed like he had it all put together. He'd worked so hard to put together a regimen on how he lived and how he prayed and how he served and how he gave. His whole life seemed well ordered and structured. Certainly this was a guy to be an example. The community looked at him as a leader and followed him as an example. And yet, digging inside the depths of his soul was this aching question that there's something more. Maybe something more that he could do. Maybe something more that he should be experiencing. This doesn't seem like enough. This doesn't seem like it's supposed to be. And then he heard about Jesus, a rabbi whose teachings were able to confound Pharisees and scribes who seemed to be able to challenge even the best of those with knowledge. And maybe he would have an answer. Maybe he would be able to help Nick in his predicament. This is the ministry of Jesus. The ability to gather sinners and saints, skeptics and zealots, people coming together to listen to his teaching, to see his miracles performed as he made the blind see and the deaf hear. To see his care and compassion for the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted. To see his confidence and wisdom as he took from the scriptures and battled with words with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and was able to teach to the masses, convicting and compelling. This was the ministry of Jesus. And all of that should give a place in history for honor and glory. And yet the reality is that Jesus gets honor and glory because of his death, his crucifixion. Tonight we gather to reflect on the crucifixion of Christ, on the death that Jesus suffered on the cross. And we call it Good Friday. See, the reality is that each and every single one of us in this room can relate to Mary or Nick. We feel like we've made so many mistakes, so many bad decisions, so many experiences in our life have caused us so much pain and suffering that there is no hope, that there is no help, that we're only here because someone dragged us here. Or maybe we feel like we've had it all together. We've worked so hard, we've strived so much, and now finally, we really have to hold it all together by on our own. Under our own power, under our own might, making sure that every box is checked, every tick mark is on the list, because that's how it's going to work. Or maybe we're somewhere in between. We have our good days and our bad days, but every day we're very confident that we are not perfect, that we fall far short, that life seems to fall short. This is the ministry of Jesus. As we see in this passage towards the end, his final words, we begin to understand that Jesus reflects on all of his ministry, seeing that the scriptures are being fulfilled, that the prophets, that the law, that God had a plan that he was working from the beginning, from the moment that Eve and Adam ate from that fruit, from the rebellion even before then, God had a plan that he was working out. A plan for redemption, a plan for forgiveness. And now in this moment on the cross, Jesus reflects, in order to see the scriptures fulfilled, it is finished. It's complete. In some ways, the debt is paid. It's done. This is like Jesus declaring mission accomplished. In a very real sense, in some way to understand, Jesus is declaring victory. Do we realize how foolish that is? He's literally dying on a cross. Having suffered a gruesome and tormenting last few days, he was arrested. He was beaten. His beard was plucked from his face. He was beaten, dragged through the streets, and with nails piercing his hands, hung on a cross. Victory. It is finished. His work is done. His mission is accomplished. For the Roman citizens, the cross was not a symbol of victory. And maybe in one case, it was their victory because it was such a tormenting punishment that citizens themselves would never be subjected to it. There's stories of showing their power by taking enemy soldiers and lining streets with them on the cross down the rows to show how powerful they were. It's so foolish for someone on a cross to declare victory. What is so good about that? What is so good about Jesus on the cross? The cross is good because the world is as bad as it seems, and we are far worse than we think. The reality of sin in our world, the reality of pain and suffering in our world is as bad as it seems. As we look around and we see the poverty and the pain, the suffering and the anguish, you hear the stories of abuse and hurt and we experience them ourselves. As you see those experiencing homelessness, as we see those who are hungry, as we see those who are pursuing greed and wealth, the world really is as bad as it seems, maybe worse. And speaking of worse, you are worse than you think. We all are. I am too. We may be aware of our own temptations, our own failures, our own faults, our own weaknesses. And at the same time, by comparison to God's goodness and his glory and his righteousness, we give ourselves too much credit. By comparison to him, we are self-centered, selfish, self-righteous, and sinful. This is the reality of the cross. But this is why the cross is so good. Because God sees us in our sin. God sees the world in its brokenness and in its pain. And in the midst of suffering, he enters into it. Rather than being a righteous God who in his own judgment could just reset the clock, wipe the slate clean and start over, he enters into the world and puts on flesh. He dwells among us and he has a ministry where people of all ilks, of all backgrounds, even of multiple nationalities come together to hear and to see and even to follow. And with his death on the cross, he brings forgiveness. He brings healing. He brings hope. He takes sin seriously and he overcomes it. See, the cross is so good because of the cross, we are forgiven. we don't measure up. We don't satisfy the standard that God calls us to live by. We don't satisfy his purpose and plan for life itself and the meaning that he had given us from the beginning. But what we do have is a God who sees us and knows us and loves us. And by his sacrifice on the cross, we are forgiven. By the shedding of Jesus' blood, we are forgiven. We can't make it right. Right? We can't earn it ourselves. We can't do it. We can't justify the late ways that we've lived. We can't overcome our own sinfulness. We can't stack up enough good deeds, give away enough money, have the right job, be born in the right family, any of those things. Nothing is enough. We are in desperate need of a savior. And the cross, a symbol of defeat, becomes our symbol of hope. Because he has saved us by sacrificing himself. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you need that? Do you believe that your life is insufficient and yet so valuable to God? Do you believe that the mistakes you've made, the things you've done, the people you've hurt are very real? And very serious. And God loves you more than those things. That God cares about you. That God would willingly sacrifice himself for you. Have you received that? Like Tim said, maybe some of you have done this a bunch. Maybe you've been to a Good Friday service over and over again, and you have received that. You worship on Sundays with your whole soul. You serve and you participate in the life of a church and in our church, and you continue to follow God with everything that you have. Maybe there's a different burden that you're carrying. Maybe it's not the weight of your own sin, the burdens of the mistakes you've made in the past. Maybe it's the burden of the mistakes that others have made in harming you. See, the beauty of the cross is that because of the cross, we are forgiven. But the beauty of the cross is also we forgive others. And I feel this sense, this tension. I mean, honestly, it's in our culture, but even within our church, that there is this overwhelming pain. That so often we carry the burdens of others' actions on our shoulders. The things that they have done to harm us, intentionally or unintentionally. The depths of the pain that we've suffered at the hands of abusers, maybe even abusers who were supposed to love us and care for us and honor us. And the smallest things that continue to pop up in the backs of our minds. The coworker who didn't quite give us enough credit. Have we forgiven people? See, the beauty of the cross is as we experience our forgiveness, we can also begin to experience others, or forgiving others. And what's so profound about this is that the cross shows that God doesn't just take those things that people have done to us and say, okay, it doesn't matter, right? It's not this picture that God is saying, you have been hurt, you have been abused, you have been wronged, you have to just kind of let it go. That's not the picture. He's saying, yes, you have. I see that you have. I take it seriously. And what I'm going to do as a righteous and good God, I'm also going to take the burden of that and put it on myself. And on the cross, by my blood, you will find healing. See, we are forgiven and we forgive others because the burden of being the judge will destroy us just as much as our own sin. We aren't made for that. We can't carry that. But the hope that we have in Jesus is that on the cross, he is righteous. God sees the sin and brokenness in this world and he is willing to overcome it. And so we have confidence that the people that have wronged us, the people that have hurt us, we can forgive and turn them to God. And if they don't repent, then God is a righteous judge. He's just. And if they do repent, then Jesus sacrificed himself for them just as much as us. And we can find healing because of the blood, because of the cross. We can't be born in the right family or the wrong family. It's Jesus' blood. We can't do enough good deeds or do enough bad deeds to earn it or to lose it. It's because of his blood. We can't reunite with God because we've found ourselves on a spiritual journey and meditated enough or prayed enough or read the Bible enough or understand the nuances of every scripture and memorize a certain number of names. It's because of the blood. It's because of his sacrifice. It's because of the cross. And so we are wrestling tonight with the very real, very strong, very in our face reality of God's righteous judgment. The depths of our souls, the darkness of our hearts, the sinfulness inside each and every one of us, but the glory of God and the amazing grace that he has given us with his sacrifice on the cross. We have hope. We have healing. We have peace because of Jesus. It's nothing but his blood. It's because of Jesus. As we close our service, we're going to take some time to share in communion. Now, this is an opportunity for believers to reflect on this sacrifice that Jesus has made for us communally as a body and individually. And so as the ushers come down, they're going to pass the elements. And I encourage you as if you're a Christian, take those elements and take just a few moments to reflect on the blood of Jesus, on the sacrifice that he made for you. And if you're not a believer, if you don't follow Jesus, if you've never even been to a church, or if you've been to a church 1,000 times and you think this is just still, you're not certain, take this time to wait and let the elements pass, but reflect and talk to God, asking him, is this something that really happened? Asking him, is this something that really makes a difference for me? Do you really see me and know me and love me? As the ushers prepare, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift that you've given us and the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Lord, we pray that as we take the time to reflect on his sacrifice, the body and the blood, the bread and the wine, that you would help us to remember the love that you have for us, God, the mercy that you have shown us, the grace that you have given us. God, we praise you for the gift that Jesus is to us and his willingness to suffer, to have his blood shed, to have the sacrifice on the cross be so meaningful for us and for so many around the world, God, throughout history, for him to willingly declare, it is finished. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.